Someone beat me to the punch. Welcome back. The piano sounds so good today. It is. And anyway, the rest of us will fill in between. Good morning, family and friends of Alamo United Methodist Church. That is Alamo, the place to be on Sunday mornings. And for those who have found us on their radio at FM 96.9 in San Antonio, we are located at 4071 North Foster Road. For anyone looking for a new church home or just one to visit, come and worship with us at 10:30 any Sunday morning, and everyone is welcome. The opening scripture selected for this morning is verses 1 through 4 and 19 through 37 of Psalm 89, as printed in the New King James Version of our Bible. Listen for God's word in this reading. And the title that was assigned to this reading is Remembering the Covenant with David and the Sorrow for Lost Blessings. And it reads, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish to the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from his people. I have found my servant David. With my holy oil I have anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, and also my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. Also, I will set his hand over the sea, and his right hand over the rivers. He shall cry to me, You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My mercy I will keep him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also I will make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, I will punish their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out from my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come today. We come knowing that we are drawn to you. We are drawn like a moth to the flame. We are drawn as sinners looking for your grace and your guidance. We ask, Lord, that you forgive us for our inattention during the week, and that you have us remember that we are your disciples. Give us peace and comfort. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. We are your children. These things we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Let us pray. Morning, church. Let us pray. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. In Jesus Christ's name.
Good morning. Hi. All right, we've got anniversary.
Particularly for those on the radio, Lunch Bunch is Thursday, 11 o'clock. This month we will be at Red Lobster, I-35, close to Waltham. Okay. Everybody is invited to Lunch Bunch. It's just giving it a name. It's another time of fellowship. We gather on the last Thursday of the month at various restaurants, 11 o'clock usually, so we can try to beat some of the lunch crowd coming in. And we have a time to have a meal together, a time for conversation and fellowship, and everyone is invited, and we'd love to have each and every one of you there. This time, I-35, close to Waltham, Red Lobster, 11 o'clock, Thursday. And hope to see a whole bunch of you there. Please let Joni know. Eileen was the one that used to take care of this, and Eileen has inspired Joni to take over, and we appreciate that because it is nice to let restaurants know how many of us to prepare for so that they can prepare a large table for us. And we've been very successful in the past. So please let Joni know if you are able to attend on Thursday. Are there other announcements? Well, if you will notice, Randy doesn't seem to be here today. So, and that's not a surprise. He's taking a much-needed rest. And so he leaves me as a substitute. So if you would, please stand for our opening hymn. We've a story to tell to the nations. The words are printed in your bulletin. We've a story to tell to the nation that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth
and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, a kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nation that shall lift their hearts to the Lord. A song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword. And shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, a kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nation, that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent us His Son to save us, and show us that God is love, and show us that God is love. We darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, a kingdom of love and
please be seated.
Good morning again, church. Please join me in a prayer for our offering. Heavenly Father, we know that it is difficult to meet all the requirements that our checks that we owe to you because they come from you. They just don't stretch as far as we want them to. But Lord, we know that when we give a true offering and a true tithe from our hearts to the church, you will make it be sufficient for what needs to be done. And we ask, Lord, that you be with each of us as we make these decisions. In your holy name we pray.
Christ, God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
This week's scripture is Galatians chapter 5, 13 through 15, and 22 through 26. You can't do everything. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Someone asked the question, why do we sing? When we lift our hands to Jesus, what do we really mean? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. That's the reason why I sing. We're told in Psalm 149, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Let them praise His name in the dance. Ecclesiastes assures us there is a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to laugh, a time to weep, a time to mourn, and there is a time to dance. I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I danced from down of heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said He, and I lead you all wherever you may be, and I lead you all in the dance, said He. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they wouldn't follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came with me and the dance went on. Well, we can dance if you want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. But friends are friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, because their welcome will not end. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. So dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said He, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said He.
What a beautiful hymn. I have a couple of relatives here in this fine city, and I've had them arguing over whether it's right to dance or not to dance. And I think, dance! Dance! Have joy in your heart and prove it by dancing and singing. And in a few moments, we will have two people here to talk, and it's my turn to talk to everyone before that. And first of all, please join me in a prayer that Heather and Tom do not hesitate to face God and use the message that He has given them. It is a challenge. Believe me, it is a challenge if you stop to think. Most of the time, you don't think, just do. And that's the way it works for me most of all. If I can just stand up and say something, then I can get it right. But obviously, that's not my best suit. I don't know what my best suit is. I've been looking for it for, well, according to my birthday, a long time. But we pray that not only will Tom and Heather have the message they need to give, that we will listen and take that message to our families and our friends today, for it is God's message to them that we are listening for. Let us do so generously. In His holy name I pray. Amen.
Well, hopefully, Heather is out celebrating anniversary. But for children's message, since we're all basically considered children of God, then all of this is a children's message. Now, I was told a long time ago, never to start anything for the Lord without prayer. And I tried to hold true to that. And in preparing this message, it required a lot of prayer time. And I ask that you pray with me now as we start this time together. Heavenly Father, as we gather here in this, Your house, and in Your presence, we pray that You will pour out Your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here. Open our hearts and minds so that we may gladly and carefully hear the message that You would have for each of us. We pray that You will use each of us as Your instruments to take Your word to the world. You are mighty and we are small. But just as tiny drops of water combine to form mighty rivers that can erode huge mountains, we can combine our voices to make a great difference in our world today. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Now, message is you can't do everything, and I am probably more qualified than most to deliver this advice. And the reason that I'm so qualified is that at my 79 years here on earth, I still struggle with that concept. Now, when I was just a young kid, I was taught that no job is unimportant, and that whatever job you do should be done to the very best of your ability. My grandfather told me that there's no task that is not vital. He said, if it is your job to dig a ditch, dig the best ditch that the boss has ever seen. And, you know, in one of my summer jobs, I had the opportunity to dig several ditches. And the supervisor would give us instructions. They would stretch a string between two posts and we were to dig that ditch along the string line. And usually the instructions were that the ditch should be one shovel deep, shovel and a half wide, and sloped on the sides. That was a lot of years ago, and I still remember those instructions well. But, now, this was in Louisiana. And for those of you that don't know about the heat and humidity in Louisiana, it was usually close to 100 degrees and the humidity was above 95%. Also, we were digging in caliche soil. And if you're not familiar with caliche, it is high in clay content. And when it is dry, it's like digging in concrete. And when it is wet, and remember, it's got clay. It sticks to the shovel. You have to scrape it off. So digging a ditch was not an easy task. But ditches were extremely necessary. And a lot of times they were necessary for proper drainage because in the summertime, we had frequent thunderstorms, and we could get an inch or more of rain in just an hour or two. Now, I also remember my very first job outside of the home. I was about 10 years old, and I was hired by one of the local stores to pass out flyers on the doors of houses in the neighborhood. And what they would do is they would take two of us, drop us off at the beginning of the block. Then they would go down to the start of the next block, drop off two more people, and wait for us to finish. And once we'd finished, then they'd go pick up the next two, and we'd kind of leapfrog on. Well, now I watched a lot of the other kids. Didn't want to take the time to go from the sidewalk to the door, to the sidewalk to the door. And so they dumped their flyers and storm drains and trash cans and anything else. But that's not what they were paid for. And I went from door to door, and I placed flyers on each door. I probably did more work than the other kids. But I knew that I had done that job well. Now, I also had the experience of picking cotton once. That was enough. Now, where I grew up, cotton was a big crop, and they would bring the machines in to pick the cotton. But they didn't get everything, so they'd hire us kids to go through and get the rest of the cotton. And we had this big old burlap bag that went around our shoulder. We'd go through the fields pulling the cotton off of the cotton bowls. And those cotton bowls would get dry and sharp, and you'd cut your hands up while you're doing it. Well, again, I watched other kids. They would stop and if they ran across a rock, they'd pick it up, throw it in the bag. Sticks, anything they could find went in the bag. And I put cotton in there. Because it was cheating to do the rest of it. And then we got to the end of the day, and they paid us based on the weight of the cotton that we had picked. And while those were the rocks and sticks, got paid for the rocks and sticks, I got paid for the cotton. And once again, in Louisiana, that was the only day that I chose to do that job. A lot of times we're given tasks and we don't know the importance of the job. Now, at the Last Supper, Jesus took on a job that was normally given to the very lowest of servants, that of washing the disciples' feet. Now remember, transportation was by foot, on sandals, on dirt roads. Animals would go along there. And so on entering a house, feet were pretty funky. And washing feet was a necessary task, but it certainly wasn't a pleasant task. So generally, they would give that to the newest or lowest of the servants. Jesus chose to wash his disciples' feet, took on the worst of jobs. Now, Peter, and most of us can probably identify with Peter more than the other disciples, because I like to say he was more human. Point was, he was like me. He opened his mouth before he thought. And Peter recognized that, wait a minute, this is Jesus. He's the teacher. He's not supposed to do this. And reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 6 through 10, we read, "He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, are you going to wash my feet?' Jesus answered, 'You do not know what I'm doing, but later you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You will never wash my feet.' Jesus answered, 'Unless I wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and head.' Jesus said to him, 'One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean, and you are clean.'" Jesus proved to us that there is no job that is too low, that is beneath us. One of the things that used to burn me up when I was on active duty in the Army was when I saw usually non-commissioned officers make statements that a person of my rank doesn't do that job. I don't mop floors. And that attitude was contrary to my very upbringing. And I can say that I did tasks that some would consider beneath my rank. When it came time to do that cleanup, I would usually grab a broom or a dustpan, probably not the mop, but I would participate at least lightly in the work along with the others, because I considered it necessary to lead by example, and that's what Jesus did. He led by example. Now, I have a character flaw. I want to do everything. I don't delegate. And that even got me in trouble more than once. I had one of my bosses give me a lower than top mark on one of my efficiency reports simply because I tried to do everything myself. And afterwards, as he was counseling me, he told me, "You can't do it all by yourself. And when you leave, you haven't trained anyone who is going to replace you." Oh, hadn't thought of that. He also explained to me that whatever job you do, your primary goal should be to try to work your way out of that job. Let others know how to do it. Recruit. Find people that can help. Now, a good friend of mine, Pete Peterson. I learned a lot from Pete. And we had some good times swapping lies and war stories. But Pete told me that if you want to know how important you are in any organization, take a bucket of water, put your hand down in that bucket, pull your hand out, and look at the impression that you leave. That, friends, is good advice. None of us are indispensable. Even though I'd like to think that I am. Alamo United Methodist Church has existed for 117 years. And in that time, we've had many pastors. And throughout that 117 years, Alamo United Methodist Church has remained as a vital place of worship and a part of the community. The pastor may be the leader, but the pastor is not indispensable. And in the Methodist Church, pastors agree to move whenever the bishop decides they should move. Now, it takes more than one person to keep Alamo as a strong influence and a place of worship for all of us. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the secretary. It's not any one person. But it's many people. Many people doing jobs where they're either paid or in a lot of cases where they volunteer. That's what keeps this church going. A lot of people work in the background and we never see them and we never appreciate their efforts. But we wouldn't have the place of worship that we have without them. Now, if I tried to name all of the staff and all the volunteer positions, I know that I would forget several, so I won't even try. Think about it. Each Sunday, you walk in, you have a worship bulletin. It doesn't build itself, doesn't print itself, it doesn't fold itself. Someone has to do it. We come in, and when people leave on Sunday, a lot of bulletins get left in the chairs. And they've disappeared when we come back. The restrooms are clean. The floor is vacuumed. It happens because someone took care of that. The media that we see on the wall, or often see on the wall, I can see it. The projector in the back works, thank goodness. But all of that doesn't occur without work ahead of time. Work that we don't notice and work that is appreciated. We have people that we don't even think about. Each Sunday we take up a collection, and someone has to count that collection and make a deposit in the bank. You don't know about those folks. Now, every job is important. Every job helps to enhance our experience here and our opportunities to work for God. You know, even those that, without thinking, pick up those plastic bags that blow on our property, a lot of them saying Walmart, and they're not pointing any fingers. But I see people that pick those up without even thinking about it. Unfortunately, I sometimes trip over them because I'm not looking down. Now, each of us was born to serve God. We were created. Scripture tells us we were created a little below the angels, and the angels are God's messengers. They were created to serve Him, and so are we. And God is calling each of us, myself, you, to do something to serve Him. Now, for a lot of years of my life, I thought, I'm not good enough to do anything for God. You know, I'm a sinner. I certainly am not worthy of doing God's work. Moses, who led the people of Israel out of captivity and led them for 40 years in the wilderness, was a wanted murderer when he was called by God. One of Jesus' disciples, Matthew, was a tax collector who was hated because tax collectors not only took taxes for the Roman government, but they cheated people to make more money for themselves. But these people and so many others answered God's call to serve. You are being called to serve. How do you answer? One of the hymns we sing during chorus has a line, "Here I am, Lord." And when we do sing that hymn, I look and I see so many hands raised. Here I am, Lord. What are you? You know, now, one person can't do everything. And believe me, I have tried. But you can do something. Now, right now, I'm learning that sometimes my job changes. You know, I used to be dad, and I got three grown boys that still call me dad. But they no longer need my guidance, all of them are grown men and very successful on their own. And I got a couple of them that live close to me, and they call me a couple of times each week. Dad, are you okay? Do you need anything? They want to help me. And that's foreign to me. I don't want them to. But my role has changed. My job is to allow them the blessing of taking care of me. Is it easy? No. But God did not promise that things would be easy. Now, each of us can make a difference. and you do not know the influence that you may have on another. That polite word you say to a cashier, like I usually leave with, I hope all the customers are easy ones today. And there's usually a smile, sometimes a little giggle along with that. Because someone knows the drudgery of that job. It costs me nothing, but it brightens their day. Now, just out of the news cycle was Hurricane Beryl. It hit the Texas coast and kept a lot of residents in Houston without power. Now, if you remember from news broadcasts ahead of time, you saw people preparing for it, and they were filling sandbags, putting sandbags up. And you kind of wonder why. Well, when those storms come ashore, they bring great volumes of water with them. Tidal surge, it's often called. But great amounts of water and debris wash up during that time. And I once heard a story about such a storm that came in and left a beach covered with thousands of starfish. And picture an old man walking along the beach. Occasionally he'll stoop down, pick up a starfish, toss it back in the water. Walk a little further and bend down, pick up another one, toss it back. And there were a group of young people that were having a little picnic on the beach. And one of them told the old man, there are thousands of those starfish on there. And throwing a few back can't possibly make a difference. The old man, without a word, bent down, picked up another starfish, threw it out in the water and said, made a difference to that one, didn't I? Point is, you can make a difference. Now, one of my heroes, all-time hero, is Mother Teresa, who now in the Catholic Church is known as Saint Teresa of Calcutta. Mother Teresa, when she was just answering her call to serve God, knew that God was calling her to minister to the poor and sick. And yet, her order of nuns did not have that calling. But she felt so strongly about that that she had an audience with the Pope to explain what God was calling her to do. And he was calling her to minister to the sick and the poor in the slums of Calcutta. Now, through her efforts, she founded the order, it's called the Missionaries of Charity, which now consists of thousands of nuns who minister to the poor and sick around the world. You can make a difference. You may ask, well, what can I do? When we became members of the Methodist Church and Alamo United Methodist Church, we made some vows. We vowed to support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Five things. But remember, a vow is a solemn promise. We make vows when we get married. We make vows when we join the church. And these are promises that are not to be broken. Now, think about it. Do you take time to pray for your church? You pray for your pastor and the other leaders of the church. How about the other members? Sunday morning, we tend to go over those that need prayers, and we pray for them then. But do you take your bulletin home and pray for people during the week? On Sunday morning, is attending worship service your first priority, or is it your last priority? Well, gee, it's the only day I get to sleep in. I wanted to go somewhere this weekend. 1,001 excuses. During the week, do you pause to tell people about the good things that God is doing in your life? One of the hardest things for people to do is to witness to others about their faith in God. But that's what we have promised to do. What is God calling you to do to serve Him? I can't answer that question. Neither can you. Only God can answer that question. Take some quiet time in prayer. Ask God, what do you want me to do? He'll let you know. I did that at one time. I was on a Kairos weekend and was praying in the chapel. When I finished my prayers, I added, "Lord, show me what you want me to do." And when I said amen, I felt peace pass over me. I picked up the Bible that was there, and I let it fall open. And I glanced down, and my eyes were drawn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, which is a passage that is generally known as the Great Commission. And the Great Commission says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all that I have taught you, and I will be with you until the end of the age." Go and make disciples. That is a task for each of us. How can you serve God? Let Him answer that question. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, as I run over to the other microphone, God is calling you, but God has a need for you in His service, and each of us has a need for God in our lives. Something is on someone's heart. Someone needs the Lord today. I don't know who, but God is putting it on your heart to come to Him, to lay that burden down. During the hymn of invitation, I invite you to come forward. Come to the rail. If it is something that you and God need to talk about, kneel or stand before the rail and lift up your cares to God. If it is something that you need prayers for, Jean will be available out front to pray with you. But as we go through this time together, come forward as God is telling you. Don't hesitate. Come to the Lord. Please stand for our call to worship.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. Each other, we will work side by side, and we'll guard human dignity and save human pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
May be seated.
Beautiful service, and what a beautiful witness that Tom has delivered to us. And Tom, I listened to a country song once upon a time, and I'm like the guy in that song, the guy who published it, whoever that was. I never picked cotton, and I hope to God I can say that as my closing prayer. But I've done lots of things. And now, would you please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we leave from here today, let us remember all those less fortunate than ourselves and continue to pray for those who are homebound or ailing in any way. Be friendly and be safe, and let us join together again next Sunday to receive the message that hopefully Pastor Ted will be here to bring us. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And as we close out this beautiful worship service, well, Tom is about a year and 2 weeks older than me, so he has more memories, but I've never dug ditches in Louisiana. I've done lots of things in Louisiana. I was stationed there for about 3 years, but it was not a lot of fun. But, you know, again, I never picked cotton. But while I was in the military, I went from the rank of private when I enlisted to I retired as a first sergeant. So there was some things in there But I never, ever asked or commanded a soldier to do something that I wouldn't stand beside them and do at the same time. You know, you learn, and they learn by seeing others do it. So anyway, let's all go out and spread the good news that Tom gave us this morning. There's people that want to hear that. They don't know it yet, but some will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us go forth and enjoy this week. Meet again next week. God be with you.
Would you please stand for our closing hymn, Go Make of All Disciples. Disciples.